This is the Cross Conference Cast for February 15th, 2011. Nickelberry. This show is hosted by Ruth Moore and Joan Stewart. That's me. On this episode, we discuss this year's college recruits, the Canadian women's national team, and we talk a little bit about the cross conference philosophy and what's in store for us for the future. For full show notes, please visit crossconference.com. And if you're listening to us through iTunes, please take a moment and rate us in the iTunes store. It's a nice way to help new listeners find us, and we really appreciate it. Hello, I'm Joan.
And I'm Ruth.
And this is my V8, Spicy Hot. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I thought you were having coffee this morning.
I am having coffee, and I'm having V8. Well, the coffee was earlier. I'm opening up this V8. This is probably, like, the worst thing in the world in reality. Like, it's probably, like, the worst thing I could possibly be drinking. But... That's good. So we're back with another cross conference cast. It is the 15th of February. Whoa. Sorry about that. We just had the Corey Alexander interview released. That was fun. Love catching up with Corey.
Yep.
We really do enjoy our goalkeepers on this show. I just realized that. if you're a goalkeeper, you're pretty well guaranteed that we're going to like you for the most part. Or at least, at the very least, we're going to talk about you.
That's true. We were just talking about one.
I mean, players out there, young players, consider being a goalkeeper. Because you'll get attention from us.
Lots of attention.
Isn't that what you want? We have plenty to talk about, even though there hasn't been any games. There's been some rosters announced, and the letter of intent day for colleges came and went, and so we have a few not announcements, because we're not announcing anything. We have a few discussion points to that end. There's exciting things for Ruth.
Yay!
And. Yeah, things are sort of exciting for me. So let's start with the college folk and the youth teams, recruits. Ruth,
okay,
you've talked about Virginia in the past, but talk about them now.
Well, now it's on paper. Now it's official. Virginia has put together, you know, a really good freshman class. There is at least one of them in the U20 camp right now, Morgan Bryan, and a couple of her U17 teammates are joining up at Virginia with her. As important as the seniors were that graduated this year, Virginia's going to be looking pretty good next year too.
Yeah, I was really surprised, all these Virginia people.
I was surprised too. And
we'll put both feet in the water in the surprise water.
Is it hot or cold?
Well, it'll be a surprise. I'm interested to see them, you know, crawl their way back up to, you know, the top five or so, you know, eight maybe. Because it's been a while since we've seen Virginia look as strong as they have. I mean,
in the 2005, 2006.
Yeah, it feels like much longer, but that's good. That's a positive thing. I'm excited to see how they do next year.
And yeah, it was really surprising that that they didn't, like, I mean, UNC is obvious in ACC, but Boston College has been pretty good too. And so Virginia hasn't been getting as much attention.
Oh, yeah. And they deserve it. They're a good program. They've always produced some really great players. Well, one of our favorite subjects, Ruth, UCLA.
Yeah. There was some talk when Ellis left and Mr. Tarpley took over that it might affect UCLA's recruiting, the incoming recruiting class. But it looks like it stayed pretty much the same. It's a really heavyweight kind of freshman class. Samantha Mewis, Abigail Del Kemper, some Canadians, or at least one of the ones that wants to be a U.S. player, but we'll see how that goes.
That keeps happening somehow. They keep doing that. I guess it could be different under Mr. Tarpley.
It could be. It'll be interesting. It'll definitely be different if UCLA makes the Final Four this upcoming year.
What will be different about that?
It won't be... you can't rely on the curse then.
Oh, that's true. We've heard from our inside source at Santa Clara.
Julie Juarez,
they have a good recruiting class, correct?
Yes, they do. They're looking to add some forwards or some scoring options. And could you hear that?
Just a little bit, but keep going.
Okay. He's not going to shut up. Sorry, everyone. That's...
Oh, I can really hear that.
Okay, I have to let him in. Hold on a sec.
Kitty! Hi, Kitty!
So, where were we? Oh, yeah, Santa Clara. Julie has mentioned to us that we could see a few more additions before the season starts, and there might be some walk-ons. And yeah, that's exciting. It's always good to know that if half the roster gets injured, we'll still be able to field the team and make subs.
Yeah, it's I'm hoping that doesn't happen this year for Santa Clara.
Yeah.
It's too much. They need to let's get off the injury train.
Yep. So what are we hearing out of Portland?
Portland so far, four letters of intent. It looks like a pretty good recruiting class, mostly in the area. And then we are getting our current defender, central defender, Cassie McCluskey's younger sister, L'Oreal McCluskey. She played on the same club team as Cassie. Central midfield. I don't know much about her, granted, but it's always awesome to see the family connections. Because Portland, as you may know, is all about the love.
They are.
And it's like a family.
Sometimes they are family.
Sometimes they are family. And that's correct.
The same is true of Santa Clara, though. I think it's a West Coast Conference thing.
Mm-hmm. We're not like those cold East Coasters in their sisters going off to different schools thing. No. Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's... So tragic.
Keeping it in the family.
Make it easy for the parents to know who to root for.
That's true. Oh, poor DeMartino's. So anything about the spring schedules? You've got a note here that I see.
Oh, yeah. Penn State has a really nice spring schedule. And I guess... Like, the big thing for me is that the spring schedules for college soccer and the preseason for WPS get mashed together. So, like, Philadelphia has a really fun set of college teams to play against. Rutgers, Penn State, Maryland, which is another one of those up-and-coming ACC teams. Or I guess they already arrived last year. So yeah, a lot of schools are announcing their spring schedules, and I don't think Notre Dame has posted theirs yet, but they're gonna have their usual matchup against Mexico, which is gonna be awesome now that Gonzo's back with them. So yeah, I'm excited.
Yay, Gonzo!
Yeah, she's tweeting a lot more now too. She seems very happy dancing in the locker room.
Oh, I should mention that my second favorite school, UC Irvine, also has four recruits coming in, and I am going to choose a favorite right now. It won't be random because I just found out that this person named Jasmine Nickelberry has the last name of Nickelberry. So, congratulations, Jasmine Nickelberry. You will be my favorite UC Irvine freshman. You are a defender from California.
Please get minutes so she can talk about
I
you.
know. Please do something this season. Let's see. No hometown listed. That's.
We'll do some research. We'll catch up with her later.
Maybe we'll have an interview with Jasmine Nickelberry.
We really need to get in touch with UC Irvine and tell them that
We
we're rooting for
should.
them.
We should. Oh, that would be really a long-term dream come true for me. Okay, enough about college. The U20s are in camp. Are they in camp, or
Yes.
did the camp already end?
No, they are in camp. The U.S. Soccer managed to post the roster before that camp ended. They buried it, backdated it, said that it was posted on the 11th when it was posted on the 15th. But it's a good looking roster. It's a little different from the one in January. We've got some different 2010 U17s in there. And we still have a Santa Clara representative, which is cool. And we have a Portland representative, which is also cool.
Yay!
So yeah, I mean, there's been a few moves, but it's still early, and yeah, so it'll be interesting to see who's on the next one too. They're going to wrap up this week by playing a game against University of San Diego, where Corey Alexander is not. So, go U20s.
Yes. No, the U23s are also they're going to Spain near the closer to the end of this month in about 6 days to La Manga for a little tournament against some of those European teams. And the roster's interesting. Bianca Henniger is on that one
Yay!
rather than with the full national team, which I feel is a mistake.
Oh, please explain this.
Because I love Alyssa Nair. You know this. I know this. Everybody
Yes.
knows this. But I think Bianca Henniger is a better goalkeeper.
Dun dun dun.
Slightly better. And this is big coming from me.
It is. Like, coming from me, anyone would expect that because I talked her up a lot during the U20 tournament and the college season, and she's a Bronco, so she just has my heart. But yeah, I mean, I like Nair too, but I think Bianca, I don't know, Bianca's just got some extra charisma, I guess, maybe.
I was gonna say steel, that her head is made of steel, but I don't know what that really means. Anyway, and the roster is also confusing because Keelan Winters is listed as a defender. And before I was looking at the midfield thing, and I was very upset that she wasn't chosen, but then I saw that she was under the defenders, and it confuses me. I know Bill Irwin and his mustache like to experiment a little bit with the lineup. It's good, it's good, but it was a little bit concerning.
Look at those defenders. Five of the six of them played in the 2008 U20 World Cup and won. And then there's like random UNC player from last year. But You know, they've got Fuchs in the back again. They've got Becky Edwards in the back again.
Ellie Reed.
Yay! I mean, that's a killer defensive line. But yeah, it's a little weird to see certain names back there.
Keelan. Lawrence in the middle. Yeah, well, I'll look forward to seeing what they do. I am upset that Keelan has not been chosen for the full national team when in 2008, Tony DiCicco even suggested that she be bumped up. But God forbid. God forbid we do something
like to change that. The national team. Goodness. Yeah. Mm.
Okay. Well,
broken promises.
Yeah. Yes, we could. let's take a little break and then we'll come back and talk about the U.S. Women's National Team and the Canadian National Team.
Woo!
How's about that?
Yes.
Back with the Cross Conference Cast. I'm Joan.
And I'm Ruth, and we have a special guest, my cat Sebastian.
Kitty!
Yay!
Let's talk about these full national teams. First, the boring one. The U.S. Women's National Team announced their All-Garf roster. No surprises whatsoever. This time, Abby Wambach is with the team. I guess her rest time is over. I don't really see anything super surprising other than Whitney Engen in the back line. She's
Allie
really,
Krieger's back.
Oh, Allie Krieger. That's well. It's not too surprising though.
Well, I think she'd have the good sense to stay in Germany, not waste her time on a roster that she knows isn't going to change.
Well, there's room for her. It would be different if it was quite packed, but there's plenty of room.
It's weird that Megan Schnorr was in camp but didn't make the roster, because I thought she was on Pia's good side.
Well, Pia's good side. Maybe she only has room in her brain for like the midfield to be on her good side. That she remembers. And
maybe poor Schnur said something to Carly and Pia took it the wrong way.
Isn't Schnur from New Jersey, though? Somebody's from New Jersey.
She's from near Pittsburgh. She played for New Jersey, although now she's signed with DC. Hmm. And she went to UConn. Anything else I can fill in?
Well, I knew there was something about Jersey in there. Anyway, nothing too surprising. I wonder, though, if they are going to get crepes while they're in Portugal. Do you think?
I'm not sure. They might change it up since they didn't change up the roster.
Yeah, or maybe go to the beach, one of those.
Maybe build a sandcastle.
Yeah, And the U.S. announced a friendly versus England in England.
And there's talk about maybe an unofficial friendly against Scotland, I think? Something like that. Doesn't matter. It's unofficial.
Like a scrimmage?
Yes, or, one of those thingies.
Yeah, so that's terrific. England will be a good test, I think. Hopefully they are up for it. I'm sure they will be. And being playing in England will be even better. So that's good. It's good to see them testing themselves against some teams that will hopefully bringing the big guns to the Women's World Cup later this year.
The U.S. is just a starter. Maybe they'll play against Mexico then.
No, I meant the U.S. playing against England.
Oh.
We're on the same page. Okay. Well, that's them. Good for them. Yay. Yeah.
You know, we could just like copy and paste the same segment from every show when we're talking about the U.S. The roster's the same. Carly Lloyd's there. Nothing interesting.
We have to get off the Lloyd hate wagon because she did score in China, right? That was in China? I don't know.
It's not hate. It's confusion.
Confusion. It's not all her fault. It's not.
No, I believe that.
Look, Alex Morgan is still there.
Yes, gravity has kept her on the
rise.
Hope is there too.
Oh, that too. Well, the other kind of hope, alive. Keep it alive.
Kelly O'Hara is there.
Huh?
Kelly O'Hara is there.
Yes, she is. Kelly O'Hara. I'm liking her more every day. Which is weird, because she's in Boston now. I don't know. Anyway, we got some reader email regarding Canada. This came from Alyssa. And Alyssa writes, I was wondering, with all the heat and recent news about the Canadian women's national team, what are your thoughts on it? Will the CSA agree to let Marachi have complete control of her team? Will the public threats to boycott worsen their case in the eyes of the CSA? Do you think the women made the right decision in making all this public? How do you feel about the men's side earning more money than the women's, even though the women's team is more successful?
Dun, dun, dun. We have opinions.
That's a lot of separate issues. Maybe addressing the last one, I don't know about the compensation thing because I don't know how much the men get paid. And in fact, if the men get paid, like according to how many of their men's players I knew, then Dwayne De Rosario would be the only person who got paid. I don't know. Does anybody know any Canadian national team players? I think there's one guy in England.
There's the Nash's brother, but I don't know if he plays for the national team.
Sure.
I know he plays or played or something, Vancouver. So we don't know a lot.
The compensation, according to national teams, is a little bit weird to me because if the men bring in more money with, you know, people coming to see their games, I can see some of the justification of paying them more. Like, with the women's national team in the U.S. is, quote-unquote, more successful than the men, but the men bring in a lot more money than the women do. That's just the way it is.
But at the same time, it sounds like the Canadian men are actually getting paid, and the Canadian women pretty much aren't.
Yeah. That's
so.
And if that's the case, then that's absolutely wrong, and somebody should be kicked in the junk.
Right. So yeah. Like in that case, we don't like that the men's side is earning more money. Because the women should at least be earning money.
Yeah.
As compared to not earning money. But, you know, if the men get a bump in pay raise because the women actually start getting paid, although I realize that financially that's never going to happen. If the women are getting paid, then it also makes sense that the men are getting paid more because that's true in any occupation.
And not that it makes sense, but that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense in a that's justice sort of way. No.
Right. Mm-hmm. But we do agree that the women have good reason to argue about their compensation.
Yeah. But that's not the main reason for their boycott, if it is a reason at all. It's probably secondary or tertiary to the actual reason, and that, but which Alyssa mentions in her email. about Mirachi having complete control of her team. There's questions of whether Pia Suntaga has complete control of the U.S. women's national team. And I don't know if it would matter if she did. I think if Mirachi had complete control, it would be fine. She's done extremely well with the national team, the full national team.
And the U-20s.
And the U-20s. I think it makes sense to let her have that influence over the U-17s. I don't know if it would be too much pressure for her to coach all three teams, but...
It probably would be.
To let her at least have influence over it, I think would be a really good idea. And I think that's what the women's players are fighting for. From today, the 15th, the boycott is still happening. It's still ongoing. So the Cyprus Cup looks iffy, strangely, which is, it kind of sucks because this is a World Cup year. They need some, need to get out there and run around. But I like that they're sticking to their guns.
And this is a really, really well-timed and ballsy move. Mm-hmm. Like,
I think it's great. Crap, there's another cat in here now.
It's risky, but boy, it's not selfish, and the risk falls on them, on the women. It's in a way. I mean, people have talked about Canada's bid to host the Women's World Cup being at risk because, you know, it's the FIFA is going to make the decision. They could suspend the entire organization thing,
which means the men don't play either, and it's youth. I don't know if they're U-17s or the U-17s or the U-20s have a World Cup this year.
I think the 17s. I'm not sure. I think it's the 17s because the 20s were last year. I don't remember. It's morning.
It is.
I don't know. I don't know much about the CSA. And even though we had that wonderful conversation about Ingrid, I feel like I know a little bit more, but still there seems a lot to be confused about. I hope they can resolve it. It only makes sense to let Mirachi have the control that she... I don't know about how one earns that kind of control, but it couldn't hurt. Like, come on, just. Like,
I think she's... when you've turned around an entire program, it makes sense that you have access to the people that are going to continue being in your program.
Oh yeah. So, I support the gals.
Yeah. I especially support that they made this public, because now CSA has to be accountable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they now have more attention than they've probably ever gotten before. And maybe one of them will be on Degrassi next season.
You should explain that.
I just heard there were rumors that there's going to be a fictional U-17 Canadian national team player attending Degrassi next year. I'm so excited, but I'm always excited for Degrassi. I have tears in my eyes.
Well, now I'm excited for it too.
Well, oh, this season is shattering me, so we have to move on. Thank you, Alyssa, for your email. I'm sure that's more than you really wanted. And if you listeners have anything to say, or if you just want to get your voice out there, our email address is crossconference@gmail.com, or we might even have you as a guest on the program. It'll be fun.
Do we want to give the phone number?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Let's see. It's right here. Give us a call. Number's 202-657-4495. That is 202-657-4495. And standard blah, 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 blah applies. And leave a message.
Joan checks the messages.
I do. So let's take a little break and we'll come back. We'll talk about the WPS and wrap up a little bit. Down to more than we were ready for. Came up behind me, grabbed my wrist in the dark, and said, "Don't look at what you can see." Now all. We're back with the Cross Conference Cast. This is Joan.
And this is Ruth, and the cats have left.
Oh, bye kitties. let's talk a little bit about the WPS. There's not too much going on. Their roster's a little more solidified. Boston looks good.
Fabulous.
Philly. The saddest thing of all happened. DC only playing four games in DC, and
they don't have a stadium in Florida yet.
And they don't even really have a place to play in Florida, and that hurts. I'm not even a DC fan, but I grew to really be very affectionate of the Freedom program, the way they supported the semi-pro team. Through the doldrums of not having a pro league and the supporters in DC were really great. We have a friend, Christy. Hi, Christy. You're the bomb diggity. who had been a season ticket holder from the beginning. Well, maybe she might be as well, but
I think they still are.
Yeah. That just breaks my heart. And if any Freedom fans want to talk about what that feels like, I'm genuinely interested in what they're feeling and what's going on, because that, oh my goodness, nobody supports the women's game like they do, in a way, because it's just been going on for so long, and to see it change is just heartbreaking. But if anyone wants to tell us about it, talk about it.
If you're feeling particularly betrayed, then you're always welcome up in Philadelphia. It's not that much of a drive. A
couple hours.
Yeah. Well, you were already driving at least an hour out of your way to get to...
we got some news from Chicago. They sent out a letter to their supporters, which a very, very kind... listener sent us
hi Chris
sent us the letter that Chicago sent to their season ticket holders with the refund, and Chicago Red Stars are that organization is hoping to field a team in the meantime for this season. Clearly not the roster that they had before, because those players are gone. But maybe in the WMLS or something, that's what they're looking towards. And that's a really positive sign that they still care and that's still an option for them. I'm sure that the organization itself was really, hurting by not being able to play this season, because of stupid rules. But, I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think it's great. I mean, I think losing Chicago was huge for the league. Even if most people don't realize it yet, especially for those of us that really follow the league online, I think we're really going to be feeling that this season. But regardless, it's good that they're still going to, you know, they're going to find a way to keep going in 2011, even if it's not in our league. And you can kind of like, you can almost kind of look at it as relegation, even though it had nothing to do with the quality. Although I guess Chicago last year would have gotten relegated.
Yes, they would.
But you know, they stick around. They keep. Hopefully, they find some way to make this pay off for them in the long run. And it was particularly nice that they let season ticket holders know about it. Like, way to go with the communication.
Yeah.
DC isn't managing that, and they still exist.
Oh, gosh. The pain. Yeah, so that's... I don't know. I hope Chicago comes back next year. I hope there's a league next year. I do. As much as I'm pessimistic, like, I plan on getting back to a WPS town someday, and I would love it if there were a team there. It would be wonderful.
That it would.
Yeah. But I think that's all the news we have for women's soccer anyway. But we wanted to take a couple minutes to talk about ourselves, because we don't do that enough. And it's really all about us, right, Ruth?
It is.
We're
it definitely
terrific.
Is.
I mean, we're pretty much the greatest.
Yeah.
Well, we've had some questions on people wondering kind of the way we work and why we haven't done advertising or, you know, and our case is a little bit special. The way we work with the podcast is I kind of fund everything myself, me being Joan. Because I work, I have a job, and it's...
Right, and it's not like I haven't offered, just Joe was always like, it's not a huge expense for us.
Yeah, it's not a huge deal. I don't mind. It doesn't really matter.
Like, we're hosted, we have our own domain, the blog is hosted on its own server, which has been gifted to us by a listener for free.
Yes, thank you. I never got to the chance to... formally thank her in public, but thank you. You are the best.
So like,
see you soon.
That is a big that saves us a lot of money right there. So like, overall, this is like, the cross conference projects don't cost us much.
Yeah, it's not a lot of money. And frankly, this is just to get better. You know, we keep doing this because we hope to get better and someday be a really great podcast. Basically, my philosophy was I wanted to create a podcast that I wanted to listen to.
You could afford to listen to.
That I could afford to listen to. You know, just, you know, people talking about women's soccer, you know, hopefully a little bit funny, talking about things that I cared about. And hopefully other people care about them too. But we don't do ads, or we haven't done ads yet, because I feel personally that we don't deliver consistently, and that's mostly my fault. So
we both figure it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can't deliver a podcast, you know, on a certain day every week or something, and I am uncomfortable with charging or asking for money or, you know, giving people shoving advertising at them when I can't deliver consistently. I'm fine with advertising as long as the content it's of high quality and it's consistent. And that means a lot to me. That's basically my philosophy. If we were doing this more regularly, if we could do that, then maybe I would be open to advertising. But so far, it hasn't. We haven't needed to, and it would have to be like a good ad. It would have to be good. Something relevant and not, you know, not dumb.
Definitely and probably recorded by like Kelsey Davis or
Yeah.
Tiff Weimer, you know.
Something Kelsey Davis would do, maybe. Yeah.
Save the puppies.
Something about puppies or the earth. who knows? and we, so basically, like, the projects and the, like, the Santa Clara thing and everything we've done is just for the love of it because we're really passionate about it. And we've got some wonderful things coming down the pipeline.
Really wonderful things.
Yeah. Something Ruth has been working on and is close to her heart. do you want to talk about that or should we talk about that later?
I don't know. I mean, we've gotten some confirmations back from players that they're willing to talk to us.
Willing to talk to, like it's a deposition. Or...
well, they're like particularly on this subject because I could see it being kind of sensitive. And these are it's a definitely a different kind of player from what we've been talking to, like the kinds of players that we ran into with the rivalry project. But yeah, I mean, this is something I've been wanting to do, and I'm so glad that we're going ahead with it because it's just, oh man, this is why I got into blogging and podcasting for women's soccer. This is awesome.
We're excited, and I hope our listeners are excited too. And we're thinking of ways to get you guys involved a little bit more. Not that you're doing our work, but no, just you know, to engage a little bit more with all y'all because we love you.
Yeah. And if you see us at preseason games, or well, I guess if you see me at preseason games. And if Joan ever gets her butt out to the East Coast, because clearly it's just that simple, uh-huh. then feel free to approach us because we're gonna try to be getting out there more.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, that's it. So we're excited, and
we got big things coming up.
Big things. So. Well, Ruth, I'll talk to you later. No, yeah. He's like, no, I think, no, okay. Yeah. I think we're done. And I have to go to work now.
So. Oh, damn. I mean, that sucks. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.